Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. Isn't it nice to have a little warm? I mean, when it's 38 degrees, it's warm in Minnesota. So, nice to have you here. This has been an interesting week. Almost sound like Garrison Keillor, huh? Interesting week in Lake Wobegon. This week, we buried a good friend, Mary England. We will have a memorial service for her probably next week. Yesterday, my baby girl, gave birth to a baby girl. Yeah. They named her after two of the most powerful women in my life, my mother-in-law and my grandmother, Dida May. Dida May. Have you ever heard such a name? We're going to have to change her Dides. Kids these days, but they're all mine, so that's pretty good. But we have a birth, we have a death, and in between an ordinary week. That's how fast this life goes. And you know, the older you get, the quicker it flies. We live between the eternities. The scriptures talk about a wisp of smoke, or that's how long our life stays, and then it's gone. And from way before time began to way after, you and I are living our time now. And so the question maybe we should be thinking about today on Christ the King Sunday is, how are you doing? How are you doing? And where are you finding joy? And where are you finding peace? And what's that all about? That's why I'm glad that that we get such a nice crowd on Sunday mornings. Welcome. A couple of things happening. This is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday in the church year. Next week is the first Sunday in Advent, so we have a New Year celebration. We're also receiving new members next week, so if anybody wants to join in that fun fest, please let me know. Pancake breakfast today out at the Wealthwood Rod and Gun Club. Women's Christian luncheon, Christmas luncheon, got to sign up for. Also the Christmas dinner the second Monday of December. Thanksgiving service, oh, that's this week, isn't it? Lots to be thankful for. Wednesday night at 6:30, come over and we'll celebrate. Remember to thank our Lord. Huh? All of those things are on your announcements for the bulletin. Deer hunting's over today. Jim, you got your deer? Okay, you're going to put it on for the church here so we can each have a taste?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, the pangs of life happen, the good things, the bad things. But along the way, you remind us that we are loved by you unconditionally, absolutely. We are cared for by you. You promise us your strength, your power, your presence. And so this morning, we pray that you might come to us to stir our hearts, to remind us of your love. We thank you for the many blessings you have granted us. We thank you for family and friends who worship. Bless us in this time together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Amazing Grace. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse of 779.
Oh,
Please rise. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the sovereign over all the earth, the wisdom from on high, our merciful judge and Savior. Amen. Let us boldly approach the throne of grace, trusting in God's mercy and love. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together. Generous and faithful God, we confess to you all the ways, known and unknown, that we reject and undermine your steadfast love. Though you made us your people, we treat strangers with suspicion. Though you forgave our debts, we collect without mercy. Yet we are quick to pass judgment on others. Have mercy on us, O God. And remember your promise to us for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Through the living word, Jesus Christ, God forgives your every debt, your every sin, and gives you a new heart and a new spirit. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. Let's join in the prayer of the day. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things to your beloved Son, whom you anointed priest forever and King of all creation, grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united under the glorious and gentle rule of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the bells to play for us a sweet hour of prayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Bells. Good job. Today's first reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. In this passage, God is praised for revealing ultimate divine power in raising Jesus from the dead. The resurrected, exalted Christ is Lord both of the church and the entire universe, now and in the age to come. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Psalm today is Psalm 95. Please respond in the bold print where you see the bold R. Please respond with the phrase, "We are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand." Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before God the presence of thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. We are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. We are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Gospel lesson for this Christ the King Sunday is found in the 25th chapter of St. Matthew. Jesus compares himself to a king who moves among his subjects to see how he is treated. What is done for the least of those who belong to his family is truly done for him. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep in his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at the right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" And he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. the Word of God, the Word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I had a vision this morning when you guys were playing for us. It came to me that everyone here would really love to play the bells. And I had a picture of everyone playing these bells and then use that one-handed ding, ding, ding. That was really great, Linda. Come. Even I might be able to do ding, ding, ding one-handed, but not left-handed. Anyway, wouldn't that be great? That'd be a great tune to send us off to heaven. I mean, and then that part in the middle where you got a little rusty or whatever. that was like me when I, you know, a sweet hour of prayer. When I'm saying my prayers and every once in a while I start nodding off. And I thought, oh, then you got back on it. Oh, yeah, I better finish this up. Yeah, thanks. That was really good. Thank you for doing this. I heard a story. A friend of mine was driving out to see his kids in Dillon, Colorado. Drove all night in the morning, got to one of those outskirts of Denver, and it was a couple hours to Dillon back in the hills, and thought he'd pull over and get an hour of rest in his car. And he pulls into a park. Unbeknownst to him, there's a jogging trail going back. So it's about 8 o'clock in the morning, and he puts his chair back as far as he could and gets comfortable and tries to catch an hour of sleep. And a few minutes later, someone's knocking on his window, and he pulls the window down, and the guy says, hey, do you have the time? Yeah, it's 8:15. Okay, so he puts his, the window goes back up, and he gets comfortable, and he's just about nodding off, and someone's going tick, 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 and he winds the window down. Hey, do you have the time? It's one of these joggers, you know. He says, yeah, it's 8:30. Okay. He writes, he gets a piece of paper, he's got a black magic marker, he says, I do not know the time. So he puts it on his window, sticks it in there, and he's just falling into a sleep, and he hears tick, 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 and he winds the window down. The guy says, it's 9 o'clock. He said, forget about it. That's like Murphy's Law, you know, if it can go wrong, it will, and the corollary to that, if anything can't go wrong, it will anyway. And I know when you folks who hang around the computer, I mean, that's true there, when anyone who uses the computer. Of course, some people have more than their share of bad luck. You know people like that? Anything they do, it just goes bad. The world labels them losers, huh? I suppose you think there's no sadder label that can be attached to anyone than to be a loser. Maybe you think of yourself as not very successful a loser. You're not. Not in God's eyes. And we need to think closely before we label anyone else a loser. Although if you look at some of Minnesota's sports teams, holy smokes. No wonder we're so Minnesota nice. We've never had a real winner much. Anyway, pastor friend of mine was telling a story about a man who bore the label of loser. It was in the newspaper, a story about those who fail in life, who just don't make it. Focus of the article was centered on a historian who had written a book about people who were, and the article was entitled, America's Born Losers. And in his research, the author in this book came across an institution back in the 1800s that was called the Mercantile Agency. And the agency employed informants who would file reports on the creditworthiness of neighbors. If you wanted a loan, people would go to this mercantile agency and find out if the guy was worthy of that. And according to the author, it was like a national bureau of standards on judging who was a winner and who was a loser. So one of those reports that was filed in this book, according to my pastor friend, was on a fellow named William Henry Brisbane. Brisbane was operating a business in Cincinnati in the 1840s, okay? An informant for the mercantile agency reported that Brisbane had failed in every occupation he'd ever tried, including farming and publishing and even practicing medicine. He wasn't noted to do that very well. The report predicted that this guy would likely fail in anything he tried because he was a born loser. The biggest evidence of this was the fact that he was a loser was that he had inherited $100,000, which was big bucks in those days. And apparently this Brisbane had spent most of that $100,000 in a very short time. Reminded me of the lottery winners. And, you know, you hear about lottery winners, how their life just goes to pot. Well, after this author porked around a little bit, an entirely different story emerged about this loser. Actually, William Henry Brisbane had been a very successful plantation owner in South Carolina. But he decided that slavery was wrong, and as a result, he sold his plantation and moved north. And then when he got north, he felt guilty about leaving his slaves behind, and so he used the $100,000 that he had inherited and purchased all of those slaves and then gave them their freedom. The mercantile agency labeled him a loser, but I suspect God labeled William Henry Brisbane as quite an extraordinary winner. Now, why do I tell you that? I want you to think about that story for a moment in light of today's gospel text, because this is a powerful one that Christ tells on this Christ the King Sunday. Christ sets up his kingdom in the next kingdom, and there's going to be winners and there's going to be losers. In fact, they will lose. Those who are winners in this world will lose everything worth having in the next kingdom, at least the way our society operates. And there will be also some clear winners, those who have it all. Listen how Jesus describes those who will win or lose. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on this glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before for him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he'll put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. If you haven't figured it out at this point, the sheep are the winners and the goats are the losers. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the beginning of the world." Yeah. I told you that the winners will get it all in this story, huh? But listen to what made the sheep the winners. It says, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you came to visit me. That's the picture of the losers. And then the winners will ask him. Actually, it says the righteous will answer him. But winners will do just as well, huh? They'll say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or when did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. And then he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you losers, into eternal fire prepared for you for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes, you didn't help me down the road there. I was sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. And the losers will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison? And he'll reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, you did it for me. And Jesus will say to the losers, go away. Eternal punishment. Get away. But the winners, you go to eternal life. Now, this is a real powerful lesson, especially as we end our church year. I should take a poll. How many of you want to be losers? How many want to be winners? You think, in light of this text, that it might be good if we reassess our own priorities? How are we living? How are we seeing this world? We might start here. What does it mean to have it all? What does it mean to have it all? A yacht, a private jet, a mansion on the beach. A friend of mine just got back from Hawaii. Stayed on a nice beach. Yeah, he said, I'd like to have a place there. Yeah. An email magazine called Help for Sunday shared a true story from a minister named Max who works with homeless people and street people down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Max became friends with one such street person named Archie. Archie gets gout in his feet, and it's almost weekly. I mean, and he doesn't have enough money to buy medicine, to take medicine every day. Skip, you had gout. You know how much that pains him, yeah? You awake back there, Skip? Yeah. Anyway, each day Archie would go down to his corner in Fort Lauderdale, and he sold papers. He sold the daily newspaper for his livelihood. Whether feeling good or feeling sick or tired, rain or shine, Archie had to sell those papers, and he was there every day. He lives in a little one-room apartment that rents by the day. He depended on the sales of each day papers to pay for the rent, pay for the food, pay for the utilities that he used. And one day Max met Archie and noticed that Archie had an excited look on his face. He could hardly contain himself, Archie could. He told Max that he had just come from an apartment. Come and see my new apartment. He had something to show him. Max was hesitant to go down to this dark, dirty area of town where Archie's apartment was, but he knew he had to go. So they arrived at his apartment. Archie said that each day he had been saving a little bit of his money, and he then threw open the door and showed Max his apartment. He says, look at this. And there in the corner was in that dingy one-room apartment was a sofa, ripped and torn and shredded, stuff coming out, you know. But it belonged to Archie. And there in the corner was one of those junky little black and white TVs, but it didn't have the rabbit ears. It had the hanger, you know, that came out of there. And in the corner there was a recliner chair. And that recliner chair was just as bad as the couch. But it was all Archie's. And it was evident that Archie had saved a long time to have something nice. And Archie took Max and says, "I have all I need now." And he was excited about that. Can you imagine that? Suddenly, Max noticed that there, stretched out in the recliner, was a big old man, a friend of Archie's. And Max recognized him as another street person. Archie didn't mention him, but as big as he was, but it was hard not to notice him. And then Max says, "Archie, what's this guy doing here?" And here's Archie's response. He says, "He needs a place to stay. Now that I have all that I need, don't you think that I should share?" Let me ask you something. Do you have everything you need? I didn't say everything you want. I said everything you need. Then, if you've got everything you need, you have it all. You have it all. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have all you need. There's no way in the world that you could ever be a loser. You have all you need. At least you can't. If you're as smart as Archie, you can't lose it. When asked about that big homeless person on his sofa, Archie says, "He needs a place to stay. Now that I have all that I need, don't you think I should share?" I'm tempted to leave you with that question hanging in the air, "Now that I have all I need, don't you think I should share?" But that's about as haunting a question as you're ever going to likely hear. I said I want us to rethink some of our priorities this morning, all of our values, in light of today's gospel text. Let me tell you a story about winning and losing. One last story. A friend of mine is a family therapist. His name's Jim Roberts. He was telling me how he was invited to his fourth grade son's class for a party. And when he went to the party in this fourth grade, the kids were having what they called a balloon stomp. You know how every kid got a balloon and you had to tie it around your ankle. And then everyone piled in the center of the road. They'd taken all the desks, put them around, and you had to stomp your neighbor's balloons out. And at the end, the one who had the balloon that was at the end was the winner. And so all of a sudden, everybody's got their balloons and says, "Go," and there's 25, 30 kids there, stomp, 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 and pushing, shoving. I mean, he said, "It's a mess." Finally, there was one kid, "Yay, I'm the winner!" And then the neighboring class came in. And the neighboring class had what we would call mentally and developmentally challenged kids come in. And they played the same game, and Jim, who's this family therapist, says, "Oh, no. Don't do this." He said, "I had the worst sinking feeling of what happened." So all these kids, developmentally, mentally challenged, put on their balloons. And Jim said, evidently these kids missed the spirit of the game. In fact, they didn't mind having someone stop theirs. One little girl held her balloon so the boy could help stomp hers, and then the boy did the same thing, and he stomped hers. And when the last balloon was stomped, everyone shouted, "Yay, we won, we won!" Oh, it was great. And so we talked about it afterwards and about winning and losing. And he said, "You know, some people think that it's almost un-American to lose. It's you against me. And there's only going to be one winner, and there's only one going to be who's going to climb to the top. And you know how competitive we are." Someone asked me the other day, "What's the worst thing about living in Minnesota? They thinking it's 30 and 40 below in the wintertime?" I said, "It's when those stinking cheeseheads cross our border." Winners and losers. And I know what's going to happen this afternoon. And I have a feeling that same thing's going to happen next Saturday, but you're not going to go there. But why does someone always have to lose? That's the question. Today, Christ the King Sunday, we're told that there's going to be a time when Christ is going to reign over it all. And he's already made it clear that when that day comes, everything that we know is going to be turned upside down on its head. Those who think they're the winners will find out that they are, in fact, the losers. And those we have so often labeled as losers will be in the front of the pack. It's because winners understand that God's plan for the world is what you and I learned when we were in Sunday school so long ago. Loving and sharing and looking out for the weak and the less fortunate and the hurting and the supporting of one another. That's the message. And so Jesus, when he's talking, he says, when the Son of Man comes in all his glory and the angels with him, he'll sit on the glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll put the sheep, the winners, on his right, and the goats, the losers, on his left. And maybe the question I would have you think about today is, who we believe are winners and who we believe are losers says a lot about where we will stand on the day of judgment. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us each on our journeys. Amen. Let's join together in singing hymn 608, Softly and Tenderly. We invite the ushers to receive our offering. Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on page 5. Let us pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Remembering the saints who have gone before us and giving thanks for God's blessings, we pray for the church, all in need, and God's good creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. for your whole church, that it will continually to joyfully proclaim your love to the world. Let us pray. For our care of creation, that we resist the temptations to use it wastefully and seek more opportunities for restoration and wise use. Let us pray. For all the nations of the world, that they will come to the knowledge that your peace brings plenty and your wisdom brings justice. Let us pray. For our brothers and sisters in any need, that we tend to their wounds and hurts, bringing healing, hope, and comfort in your name. We especially remember in our prayers Dick Grip as he mourns the loss of his partner, Mary. Comfort him in his sorrow. Be with Darwin and Wally and Marilyn and Joyce and all those others in our church and in our lives who need your healing touch. Lord, let us pray. For our congregation, that we do everything possible to bring joy and peace into our neighborhoods and communities, let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings of new babies, for the promise of hope and new life in the age to come. We ask your Spirit to stir our hearts that we can see your Spirit at work in the world, that we would have a heart to help our neighbor, that you would smile upon our family and friends and let them know the peace and joy that comes from knowing you. For the blessed gifts of saintly lives, that they inspire the witness of all believers who live in your promises, let us pray. Receive our prayers and hopes, good shepherd, and bring us safely into all joy and peace through Christ our Lord. Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Christ is your light. Our closing hymn is Lift High the Cross. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse.
The cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Come, Christian, follow where our captain trod, our King victorious, Christ the Son of God. Live